Good morning. Also greet you in Jesus' name. I don't think there's a time that we drive up here that I don't think about the memories of the past and how some of us used to meet together. And I guess looking across the congregation, there's a number of them that, didn't have any part in that. But it's good to be here, and certainly want to assure you of our prayers as you look forward to an ordination. Any time a church faces an ordination, there's a side to it that there's a lot of resignation needed, and just being fine with our will, just staying off to the side. And whether it's the congregation or the ones that are in the class or the one that's chosen, there's just some resignation to God's will that's needed, and we're certainly praying for you all in that. You can turn to 2 Timothy 2. So, date was November 1950, and NATO was fighting the North Koreans in the Korean War. And General Douglas MacArthur was the supreme commander of NATO's forces. And Chairman Mao of China threatened that if the NATO forces crossed the north of the 38th parallel line in North Korea, there's going to be some action. And China's going to intervene, and the NATO forces are going to be in trouble. And any of you that have studied history knows that Douglas MacArthur gave orders a lot better than he took orders. And so he disregarded this threat from Mao of China and pushed the U.S. Marines and NATO forces deep into North Korea and north of the 38th parallel. And it didn't go too long that they realized that they were going to have a problem. And there was possibly 10,000 1st Division Marines found themselves surrounded and hopelessly outnumbered by possibly up to 100,000 Chinese infantrymen. And they soon realized that this wasn't going to work, and they were going to have to fight their way just to get out of this predicament. They were going to have to just fight to get out alive. And there was a mountain pass called Toktong Pass in the Nangnim Mountains in North Korea that was pretty much their only hope of getting out of there, their only hope of getting out of their predicament they were in, an escape. And so the mission was handed to Captain William Barber and about 234 Marines. It was called the Fox Company. And they were supposed to go up on a hill overlooking this mountain pass and keep that pass open at all costs. In other words, the rest of the 10,000 Marines' lives were in their hands. And if they didn't keep that pass open, there was no way out. And so they climbed this mountain, and it was bitter cold. It was below zero, sub-zero temperatures. And they were instructed to dig their foxholes, and just get into position to secure or to defend this mountain pass. And how do you do that in sub-zero weather? So they're trying to hack out foxholes and frozen ground and find cover. And it wasn't long till they found out the Chinese were already there. And so what followed was days of hard fighting. And till it was over, till more help came their way, there was less than a quarter of those Marines were still fighting. And they faced wave after wave of Chinese attacks, because the Chinese also knew what was at stake here. And they knew that if they kept that mountain pass, if they left the Marines take control of that, these Marines would be able to get out and escape. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4 Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And Paul was nearing the end of his life here. He was in a Roman prison, and as he was standing here, he probably could count a couple soldiers within eyesight. And I think Paul was reflecting back over his life and the hard times that he faced and how he endured those hard times. And I think he was trying to write to Timothy and somehow be an encouragement to Timothy that the hard times that you face, what it's gonna take to endure hardness. And I titled the message "Endure Hardness as a Good Soldier." And you're welcome to take notes this morning, but I feel like my thoughts are fairly random, so it might be a little bit difficult. But in thinking about this, enduring hardness as a good soldier, I thought about the Marines, the United States Marines. It's the main fighting group of this country. And their motto is Semper Fidelis. And on their website, it says, always faithful. Semper Fidelis means always faithful. Loyal to something. You can't be loyal just in and of yourself. You are loyal to your fellow Marines, the Marine Corps, and your country. And the Marine Corps emphasizes intense personal resolve, determination, and discipline. And for a young man or woman to graduate and become a Marine, it takes 13 weeks of brutal training. And it tests their physical and mental strength to the max. And there's probably a side of someone that looks, if you could look on at that training, you'd probably think there's no way that you could go through something like that. But they put these young men and women through this to prepare them for the battles to come. And the story that I told is just one of many stories that is an example of great battles that have been won because and insurmountable odds and superior forces that soldiers face because they were prepared. And as we compare that to our lives and the Christian life and what it takes to be prepared, and you know, in our lives, there's a whole lot more at stake than just keeping a mountain pass open. There's lives at stake in the Christian life and our final destination and those around us. And another quote off the Marines website, it says, "We need young men and women who can think, act, and move with a sense of purpose to get our mission done." Unquote. And there's a sense in that we as Christians have something in common with Marines. The Christian life is a battle. We're pretty much guaranteed that we're going to face hard times, disappointments, temptations, hard times, maybe even some failures. And how we respond and the choices that we make will determine whether we're going to endure as a good soldier. And the only way to endure is to be prepared. And you can turn to Ephesians 6. This is the armor of God, and I'd like to read these verses. I don't plan to spend a lot of time on them, but it's a good reminder, again, what it takes for us as Christians to be prepared for the battles we face in life. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Like I mentioned before, Paul knew what it was like to go through some hard times. And here again, when he wrote these words, he was also in prison. And I can just picture Paul sitting there, pondering and writing and looking at those soldiers and looking at, I imagine some of them had their gear and their armor on. And Paul sitting there thinking about the different parts of the armor and how that protects that soldier when he's in a battle or in hard times. And Paul told us, brought this here and wrote this to the Ephesians and talked about what it takes for us as Christians to be prepared. And Paul understood that for us to be victorious and to endure as a good soldier, we can't wait to put that armor on until we need it. Because at that point, it's probably going to be too late. And instead of focusing on putting that armor on, we need to be fighting. And so, as good soldiers, we need the armor of God. We need to be wearing that. We need to have it ready so that we're ready to face the battles of the Christian life. And I basically have three different points that I'd like to look at this morning. And it's actually the core values of the Marines. And if you go on the Marines website, it talks about honor, courage, and commitment. And I'd like to just apply that to our life, the Christian life, and what it looks like in our life. So, number one, core values we must possess to endure hardness is honor. And again, this is a quote. Honor guides Marines. Think every time I say Marines, think Christians. Honor guides Marines to exemplify the ultimate in ethical and moral behavior. Never lie, never cheat or steal. Abide by an uncompromising code of integrity. Respect human dignity and respect for others. Honor compels Marines to act responsibly, to fulfill our obligations, and to hold ourselves and others accountable for every action. And like the Marines, Christians are called to a life of honor and integrity. And if we fail to live that way, we make ourselves vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And it's the Marines understand that the same discipline that it takes to live an honorable life and do the right thing on a day-to-day basis is the same kind of discipline that it takes to endure hardness of the battle and be victorious. And I guess there's a side of this that maybe the Marines and the Christians parallel kind of doesn't quite hold true. There's a side of it that the Marines focus on intense personal stamina and discipline. And while that we need that as Christians as well, there is also the side of it that we have a power that is much greater than our own personal resolve and the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And we all probably have been at places in life where we've tried to live victoriously with that personal resolve, and it just doesn't work out very well. And thankful that we can have that Holy Spirit. Living an honorable life. The other Sunday at district meetings, Joe preached a message on our righteousness exceeding that of the scribes and Pharisees. And I appreciated that message. I think probably all of us know a little bit what it's like to try to live a life that looks good, but that isn't enough in Christ's eyes, in God's eyes. And in Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, if you haven't read that recently, just read that again. That's just a challenge to me every time I read that. Jesus in those chapters, Jesus taught his audience what it looks like to live an honorable life. And he called his followers to a higher standard than what they were used to up to this point. In verse 16, he talks about living a life that honors and glorifies God. In verse 20, he says an honorable life calls for higher standards of righteousness than what the Pharisees had. In verses 27 through 32, he calls them to a higher standard of moral purity. In verse 38 through the end of the chapter, or chapter 5, he calls them to a higher level of love. And chapter 6 talks about giving and forgiveness, serving only one master. And it's the kind of life he describes, a Christian life that is a life of honor, a life of discipline, and a life of holiness. And in Philippians, Paul talks about Philippians 4:8. I'm reading the ESV version. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And the Christian life is more than just what we do. It's what we think. And Paul encourages us to think about that which is honorable. And along with this core value, the last sentence of this and off the Marines website says, Marines are to fill their obligations and to hold ourselves and others accountable for every action. And it's deeply ingrained in the Marines that they are there for each other. Like, they got each other's back. If one falls in combat, they take that wounded or killed Marine and take him back with them. But then there's also the side of that that's the accountability that goes along with living a disciplined life. And as Christians, we're called to do that as well. And we are called on to bring accountability into each other's lives. Matthew 18 talks about that. If you have a brother that has offended you or has done aught against you. But then in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about the difference between that and being judgmental. And he warns us against having a life that has a lot of issues, and yet we go and think that we have to be critical of our brother. And I had to think about how important accountability is to our Christian life. And if you can just think for a minute, what would it be like if you would be all by yourself trying to live your Christian life? How many think they'd do all right? Not too many hands. And there's a side to it that, you know, ideally, Christ's power, Holy Spirit in our lives should be able to be enough. But how much do we need each other? And as Christians, we need to be open to the accountability that brotherhood brings. And, you know, I don't know any of you here, so I can say this, but if you ever have a brother or sister tap you on the shoulder and hold you accountable or question something that you've done, and you find yourself resenting that, that's a dangerous place to be. And if you find yourself looking at that brother or sister and saying, yeah, but look at your own life, that's also a dangerous place to be. But it is our first tendency when somebody taps us on the shoulder or shares a concern about us. Our first tendency is to look at them, and no matter who taps you on the shoulder, you're going to find something in their life that isn't what it could or should be. But along with that accountability, be willing to be the one that brings accountability to your brother or sister as well, in love. And we need each other. And we need the accountability that fellow Christians bring into our lives. Number two, the other thing that I found was courage, core value. and again a quote, courage is the mental, moral, and physical strength ingrained in Marines. It carries us through the challenges of combat and aids in overcoming fear. It's the inner strength that enables us to do what is right, to adhere to a high standard of personal conduct, and to make tough decisions under stress and pressure. And it's hard for me to fathom an 18 to 21-year-old young man marching into battle and marching into almost certain death. And when you read the stories of history and the battles that young men, young Marines have been called to just go into, and the fearless way in which they faced that. And yet, we as Christians are called to face life with that kind of courage. And again, the things that we face in life take courage. In 2 Timothy 1, verses 7 and 8, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And Satan knows that if he can get a Christian to be fearful enough that it keeps them from doing what's right or clouds their thinking, he knows that the battle is already half won. Paul suggests that the spirit of fear clouds our thinking and affects our judgment. And I don't know if you've ever been at a place just in normal life that you've been that scared that it affected your thinking. I can think of a couple times when I have been that fearful that it clouds your thinking. It makes you react in unreasonable ways. And Paul suggests that that is the kind of thing that is going to affect us in our Christian life as well. Also, when it comes to courage, when Jesus left this earth, in John 14, verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And the difference between the courage that a Christian can have and the courage that a Marine can have is where it comes from. And Jesus has promised that we are going to have that comforter with us, and we can have him living in our hearts. And it's as we tap into that power and as we tap into that, that we can have the courage to face life and that we can be endure the hard things that we face. And there's also a peace that goes along with the Christian life. We're going to have hard times. We're going to have times when we might even lose the battle. We might even make some mistakes and have some failures. But there's always that we can come back. We can make things right. We can experience the peace that is through the Holy Spirit living in our lives. The last core value that the Marines have is commitment. And again, quoting, "Commitment is a spirit of determination and dedication found in Marines. It leads to the highest order of discipline for individuals and units. It is the ingredient that enables constant dedication to the Corps and country. It inspires unrelenting determination to achieve victory in every endeavor." And Jesus was pretty clear when he was here that it's going to take commitment in the Christian life. And he said in Luke 9, 23 and 24, he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And then also in verse 62, he talks about, "No man that putteth his hand to the plow and turneth back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus is asking for a daily commitment. It's a commitment that we wake up in the morning and we're committed. And it takes that kind of commitment to endure hardness. And Jesus talks about being that committed, that we're not distracted by the things of this world. And in our verse that we started out with, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And that's kind of a whole message on itself of what all that means. But remember here in Luke 9, when Jesus asked certain ones to follow him, the one said, "You know, I got to go bury my father, and I got to do this or I got to do that." And Jesus expects his followers to not be distracted by the things of this world or discouraged by the hardship that the Christian life brings. And if we're easily distracted by the things of this world or discouraged when hard times come, that is, we certainly will not endure when hardship comes. And when it comes down to commitment, our feelings don't matter, do they? There's times when if we do what we feel like, it would certainly not be the right thing. And just as the Marine Corps expects Marines to have the level of commitment that they do the right thing no matter if they feel like it or not. That's the kind of commitment that Jesus expects out of his followers. And, you know, it's a challenge to think about when the brothers and sisters that are sitting around you, when they think about you, what do they think of? Do they think about the brother or sister that's committed and that they can count on, that brother or sister is going to be there no matter what? Or do they think of you as the person that's there when it suits, and if it doesn't suit or hold out or everything's not perfect, then they can't be counted on or I can't be counted on? You know, commitment is being there. Commitment is serving Christ and having an unwavering commitment to Christ's kingdom. It's serving others. And it's as we demonstrate this commitment to Christ, it's an encouragement to those around us, and it helps each other to endure the hardness and to follow Christ in everyday life. What are the rewards of enduring hardness? And when the Marines go through this 13 weeks of training, there's graduation and there's recognition, and they're honored. And when a Marine goes into combat and comes back, there's an honor and a stigma that goes along with that. They're thanked for their service and they're revered for their commitment and their courage. And when a Marine shows bravery and gallantry above and beyond the call of duty, they're often decorated with awards, the Medal of Honor. But what do we get as Christians? When we are faithful and enduring hardness. And there's a sense in which this life, it might seem like sometimes the rewards of doing right are not much more than the peace and happiness we can have from knowing that we did right. That in itself is a reward. But when Jesus left his disciples, he also told them that, "I'm going, but I'm coming back for you. And what I'm doing, I'm preparing a place for you." And so we know that the ultimate reward of enduring hardness is a home in heaven. And sometimes the reward is what can help us keep going. And the knowledge of that reward is what it takes sometimes to just plug in there and plug away and keep that commitment. And we can't fathom the joys of heaven. I thought about that as we were talking about the creation this morning, and our minds just go blank. It's like we can't even think through some of that. And that's how it is with our home in heaven. We look forward to that. And I just want to challenge you all, as you go through this week, as you face the Christian life, the challenges of the Christian life, think about what it takes to endure hardness and the rewards of enduring that hardness, and be willing to be the kind of person that's there bringing accountability and bringing encouragement to your fellow believers so that we together can endure hardness as a good soldier. Let's kneel for prayer.